Hello and welcome to Connectivity 196. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Becky Holliday.
Yep, that's right. You got it this time. Good job.
Carmine Red.
I've discovered the joys of Minecraft.
Uh-oh.
Finally.
And Adam Abinasa.
I'm so cold.
It's pretty warm here the last, recently, so you should come here.
Is it? Yeah, today is the coldest day of the year in America, but I guess Australia would be a little different, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, considering it's summer.
Yeah.
Summer.
It's actually not all that cold where I am. I think it's in like the 50s, mid-50s, something like that.
Oh, nice. Where do you live?
In Tennessee. Oh, no, I'm wrong. It's almost 40. Didn't feel that.
Not that cold.
It didn't feel that cold when I went outside.
Well, like, here it's almost 4.
Wow. Where do you live again?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, that would be why.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be, our main topic is going to be talking about just sort of, we're going to take a look at the year of 2016. What are we expecting to happen? What are we hoping will happen? And, you know, sort of like predictions, but more of just like a relaxed chat about what we think and want to happen in 2016. But first, let's catch up with everyone. Becky, how was your Christmas and whatever else you've been up to?
I mean, it was pretty eventful. Didn't do a lot of traveling because I don't have a whole lot of family in the area. Most of my family's all the way over in Washington and California on the West Coast. But I got to play a lot of video games. That was nice.
That's good.
I'm so envious.
I finally got the Wind Waker HD version for my Wii U for Christmas. So I was like, woohoo! More Zelda to play.
Yeah, I bought that when it came out and only played to like the first temple.
I was kind of like, I've played it like, you know, 4 or 5 times. So when it first came out, I was like, do I really need it?
Yeah,
I can spend the money on something else or I can get it. And I decided to spend it on something else.
That's probably wise.
So have you put much time into it then?
Not a whole lot. One of my friends just finally got his own Wii U. So, he got Splatoon and Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, so suddenly now all of us are picking up our Wii U's again to play Mario Kart with each other.
Cool.
So that was most of my Christmas break, was just losing religiously at Mario
Kart.
What
would you add to that? Splatoon, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart.
Mario Maker.
Well, he got Xenoblade Chronicles X too, so
Ooh,
that's been all his alone time.
Great choices.
So, yeah, it's a pretty good selection of games to start off with.
Yeah, right. And then, oh my god, I finally got to play Until Dawn over New Year's. That was interesting. On the PS4, I played it in a room full of people because I can't be trusted to play horror games by myself.
I'll tell you, I was playing, I actually got one of the headsets for my PS4, so I was listening, you know, good audio on The Last of Us, and I was playing it, and then my girlfriend walked around the corner, and I was like, actually jumped, and went, ah! Because the sound was like...
That's called a sanity effect, my
tense,
friend.
Tense part. Cool, so that's basically, what you've been doing, so let's move on to Carmine. What have you been doing? Minecraft.
Yes. yesterday was my birthday, and I'm just recovering from crazy karaoke. But aside from that, Minecraft, yeah, I've never played it until it came out in the Wii U. My brothers played it, my nephews played it, I've just never played it, and I've gotten into it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is great, I can see what everyone says. And I bought a Wii U Pro controller finally on like Black Friday. And I was playing it with my brother, and he knows, since he's played it before, he was guiding me and everything. We have this world where we're setting up, like, I have this obsession to set up a defensible position, and it's really great. And the same screen multiplayer, local multiplayer split screen, there's something magical about it, because even though online people can help you, it's not like the person sitting next to me is helping me, and guiding me, and we have this shared goal in the same room. There's something about physical proximity that is really different. So I'm like, I'm just every like day I'm coming back and saying, I should not play Minecraft again. I want to, but I've got so much other stuff to do. Yeah. So, it's great. And, also I'm trying to organize a Mario Kart tournament at my office. So that's also pretty interesting.
With Mario Kart 8?
8, yeah. I'm having everyone do time trials.
Oh, okay.
So that I can, like, divide all the, put all the beginners in their own races, and then all the veterans in their own races, and have two separate competitions.
Oh, that's nice.
We did, yeah, I'm hoping it works out. We've got maybe about, hopefully around 20 people will be in the final tournament.
And, so, Carmine, are you practicing against everyone else's ghosts?
No. No, that would be not nice. I'm secretly collecting data and on their performance.
So it could be like, everyone. That's like,
yeah. That's like some Incredibles evil supervillain stuff. Like, I'll create copies of them and then defeat them over and over until I am the ultimate racer. No, I can't. I shouldn't.
No, he spends too much time on Minecraft for that.
So with Minecraft on Wii U, can you go into just like a build mode or something and just make stuff like without playing the game technically?
Yeah, but one of the great things I'm enjoying about it is this reminds me a lot of, have you ever played the DS games Lost in Blue from Konami?
No.
They're marooned on a tropical island sort of thing. You and another survivor, and you have to like scrounge your own food, go spearfishing, explore the island, build your own tools. And that is a lot of what Minecraft has to me because it's got the food system. So I'm like, oh, I'm obsessed with like creating of like getting animals so that I can get food so that I can feed myself and slowly terraforming the land so that I can, you know, have an actual home base in this wilderness. It's really a nice itch that it's scratching, and I didn't realize how much I've missed Lost in Blue until I played Minecraft.
That's like I don't think anyone else has ever made that connection before.
Yeah, I mean, and eventually in Lost in Blue, you start getting deeper into islands and getting to puzzles and getting to animals that you try to hunt. It's also got a day-night cycle, so I like that there's that survivalist aspect to Minecraft, and I was like, who made Minecraft? Is it a Scandinavian developer? I can't remember.
It's like Mojang.
Were they based again? Sweden?
But it's also like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, this is very like homesteady. This is sort of really cool. You can like take this and you could like theme it all like Western and Wild West Frontier style, and it would be like, wow, this is so, you know, like American history thing. Like we could take like Minecraft, theme it like that Activision game Gun, you know, and it would still work. Yeah, it would just have a whole different thematic.
I remember following like a few years ago, sort of following like a group that was remaking Middle Earth in Minecraft.
Dang.
And it was really impressive. I'm not sure if they finished it, but like, I don't think anyone could just go in and like download the files or whatever. They sort of had like a closed community, but they posted screens and stuff. And it was really cool. Like, they were remaking the Mines of Moria, and they worked out like how big it was meant to be and like scaled it down by like half or something. But, like, yeah, they had, like, Rivendell and, like, heaps of stuff.
That's really cool. And to have a project like that, like, one of the nice things about Minecraft is you're either making a mineshaft or you're trying to create, like, I'm obsessed with animal pens right now, so it's nice to have a project to go into and, like, it must be perfect. I must have the perfect system of corralling animals now. I've got, like, double gates, like a layer outside. So that I can, so it's sort of like the Panama Canals where you go section by section. Anyways, enough obsession from me.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to Adam.
Well, first, happy birthday, Carmine.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday. I did see that this morning.
Bury the lead.
Stick around at the end and we'll sing. But you guys haven't been playing Xenoblade, so I'm not going to talk about Xenoblade.
Is Xenoblade anything like Minecraft?
Yeah, where you just get addicted and you play it forever and you kind of don't do anything else with
it. Yeah, I'm observing that trend. Like, almost all of my friends who've picked it up, either the first or second one, are just like, okay, I will see you in like 6 months when I can officially talk to people again, because I'm literally just going to go play this for the next 8 hours. Bye.
Okay, so there's one thing that I'll say about Xenoblade that's really weird. You create your own character or whatever, and you pick a voice for it. And the voice I picked was the actor that did Shulk in the first one. And in battle, they like scream out like their attacks and yell to other party members and stuff like a lot. But then in the story, they don't talk at all. Like at all. Like sometimes a little box will pop up and you can choose from two different answers. But you just like nod or shake your head no. Like they don't say anything.
That's the way to do it.
It's so weird. Like, why didn't they just record those actors saying lines? It's really bizarre. But it wouldn't be a new year if I wasn't playing, what is it called? My Stop Smoking Coach for the Nintendo DS. Every year I break it out.
You have a problem smoking or something?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a smoker.
It's from Ubisoft, isn't it?
It is.
Something I remember writing a news story about this game. I was like, oh, and then I went and researched, like, the philosophy behind, like, the why about, like, I read the press release, I researched the philosophy behind the guy who came up with it. Oh, it's awesome.
Do you, like, duct tape the cartridge to your arm or something?
No. So it's based on Alan Carr's Easy Way, which is like a book series. You read the book and then you like something clicks in your mind and you're like, oh, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore, and you just quit. But this is pretty much that, where you read and read and read, and then you play a mini game. Like one of the mini games is you're falling down like a giant mine shaft looking for diamonds. But then you get stuck at the bottom and you're addicted to cigarettes now because you fell into the trap of cigarettes. And it's...
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really stupid game. So, anyways, it's the only thing I've ever done to try and quit smoking, and it doesn't work.
How many years have you tried this game?
Oh, every year. I bought it at Target on clearance for, like, $3, like, I don't know, like 7 years ago or something, like when they had DS games at Target.
I never even heard of this game.
Me neither.
It might not have come out there, but it's not really much of a game. It's when Nintendo doing like...
It is a non-game.
It is a non-game. Yeah. But I've never actually finished it. I always like get distracted. Like, oh, I can
maybe that's why it doesn't work.
Probably.
You gotta finish it.
But keep trying.
Well,
can't just
first
quit
chapter,
halfway through.
In the first chapter, it says, like, oh, you don't have to quit smoking. Like, at the end, you'll just want to quit smoking. So I'm like, okay, and I continue smoking, and then I get distracted by a different game, and then I just keep smoking for another year.
You never reach the end.
I'm telling you. The magic will happen when you finish.
I've been playing that game for longer than any other game of my life.
Maybe it gets like really dark near the end, and like it's like those pictures they put on smoking tickets, and it's like really icky.
That would be a turn, because in the early stages it's all stick figures, and if at the end it was like people dying, I'd be like, oh,
yeah, I'd be like,
different.
This is a black lung.
Best DS game.
This is cancer.
Oh, let me look at the rating. I have it right here. Oh no, it's...
Well, it would have to be like 18 and up, would it?
No, it's E for everyone.
I would hope so.
It's E for everyone. Hey, I wasn't 18 when I bought it.
Oh god.
But it was
great game for your 5-year-old.
If your 5-year-old is addicted to cigarettes and DS, then go for it.
Oh,
this is sad to think about.
Another thing that I'm really into right now is, like, unique storytelling. Like, I listened to the first season of Serial on a road trip with my mom this week. And that's, this reporter goes and finds this case from the late 90s where this guy murdered his girlfriend. And he's still in jail. He was, like, they were teenagers. And he still says he's not guilty. And his case was really weird. So she goes and she dissects it. And it's 12 episodes long. It's kind of like that Making a Murderer show.
I think isn't based on this, like they, or allegedly based on this show, they like reopened the case. Is that what this is?
Serial is real. Like she actually goes and looks at a real case.
Yeah.
And then they did like, he's like in appeals or something now. Like I think he's going to get out, but also I think he kind of might have murdered his girlfriend. Yeah, but maybe not. I don't know. Even though I listened to it like multiple times. And then another one that was kind of like that was Her Story, which is a game that's on like phones and stuff, but I played it on Steam, where you go and you find, like you're like at a police database, and you type in keywords, and the keywords will bring up like little video clips, and they're all like under a minute long. And then once you've found all the video clips, you have like a handful of interviews with this lady whose husband got murdered. And she's, like, one of the suspects. But they don't really tell you, like, what's going on. You kind of have to figure out what happened, but you might be wrong. But anyways, that leads me to what I'm playing right now, which is an app for the iPhone called Lifeline, where you get a text from an astronaut who crashed his spaceship on, like, a moon. And you just keep getting texts. Yeah, you keep getting texts from this astronaut, and then you give him advice. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, you should go either sleep outside in the cold or go sleep by the radiation. And I chose one of them, and he died. But it let me, like, go back and pick again.
That was like half in of my real time.
That is stressful.
No, it's really cool. Because, like, you'll tell him, like,
your astronaut died.
No, but it's okay because I rewound it and now he's alive again. But you tell him, like, oh, go over there. And he'll say, okay, I'm going over there. And then an hour later, you'll get another text from him that says, like, okay, I'm there. What do I do now?
You are playing some pretty innovative games.
I know. I'm really into, like, these new ways of storytelling. You know, I've read a million books. I've watched a million movies. But there's so many new ways to tell stories, and I'm glad that people are actually doing it. Mm-hmm. But this game, it's called Lifeline. This week it's free. It probably won't be free anymore when the podcast goes up. But you find out that the astronaut is like a student, and he's a scientist that was like not studying space, so he has no idea what's going on. And he's a bit of a smartass. I like it so far. Right now he's asleep, so he won't text me until he wakes up.
Can you just text him and wake him up?
No, you have to wait. It says he's busy. He's like a tailor or something. He's busy. And then I guess my last thing is yesterday in the mail, I got a new amiibo.
Uh-oh.
And it is Butt-Butt.
What?
Butt-Butt, also known as Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight.
Which I haven't opened him yet. I also haven't opened my physical copy of Shovel Knight, so. Well, anyways, I have it, so that's that's the important part.
Yeah. I was going to buy a Shovel Knight, like, I don't know, a month ago, but I said, no, not right now. And now I can't find one anyway, so it might have sold out.
Well, around me. He's beautiful.
I think, like,
if that makes you feel better.
What?
He's beautiful, if that makes you feel better.
I don't know. I thought the paint job on all the ones I looked at wasn't that good, actually. It doesn't seem as good as the Nintendo Amiibo.
Have you looked at the Nintendo Amiibo? Because some of mine are really ugly.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what? I was planning to... It's made actually by a different company. It looks almost exactly like the box looks everything like an amiibo, but I was...
Yeah.
Is it made by a different company, actually? Different toy manufacturer?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm guessing Yacht Club Games had to basically do, like, all work out all the manufacturing themselves. And Nintendo was just like, yeah...
But the box, the box looks very, very close to, like, an actual amiibo.
But my box got bent. Thanks, Amazon. Bending my beautiful box.
You opened them anyway.
Yes, but no, it has to look perfect for a while.
Do you take photos of them and like keep them in a scrapbook?
I don't know. I'm waiting for that.
I just keep the boxes in a scrapbook.
Amiibo memories. Unboxed on this date.
Yeah, you gotta keep the receipt in the box.
Special,
you know?
Sparkly stickers, just like Ike Amiibo.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, but I actually found, I was selling a box copy of Kid Icarus for the NES, and like I bought it like in the mid-2000s, and I was like, I don't need this anymore, I'm going to sell it. So I opened it up though, and I actually found a receipt in it from whoever bought it originally, and it was like bought on like the 28th of December, 1989.
Wow.
20 past 2 in the afternoon.
Wow.
It's kind of cool seeing like a...
Sounds like the beginning of a time travel script.
Yeah.
No, I actually keep all my receipts in my games. Well, most of them.
Receipts?
Same. Yeah, I do that too.
Why like receipts?
Not in my Stop Smoking, Coach. So I don't know when I bought that. But I keep...
I usually keep the receipts in there for a while until, like, in case there's like a... Something happens. Like maybe there's like a small scratch or something I haven't noticed and it doesn't play or whatever. Just in case.
I keep it so I have the memories, like, oh, I remember my friend and I bought this in the middle of the night at Walmart, along with some cheese poofs and some cosmic brownies. I always remember that.
Memories.
I also use receipts as bookmarks in books. So that way I, you know, remember the memory, and it's convenient, because I don't have to spend, like, $5 on a bookmark.
Why would you ever spend $5 on a bookmark?
Well, you know, some of them, like, when you move them, they move, like, the penguin walks and stuff like that. Which, I guess that's kind of worth it, because the penguin walks...
I don't know. I don't think it's worth it.
Wait, the penguin walks as you go deep into the book?
No, when you, like, move it back and forth.
It's just a lenticular penguin.
Yeah, and that's worth $5.
I had, in elementary school, all my rulers were like,
it's beautiful.
I had dinosaurs.
The book fair actually comes to my college. Like once
I miss book fairs.
After they go to all the elementary schools, they go to the middle schools, and then they go to the college. And it's still like it's the children's books that they couldn't sell. So you get it for like 20% or something, like really cheap. So I buy all these children's books every year that I don't read. But they have, like, the bookmarks and stuff. I always think about getting one.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, Nick, Nick, what have you been up to?
Wait.
I haven't actually played any Nintendo games recently. The only thing I've touched, again, is The Last of Us, and I played a little bit of Rocket League the last couple of days. That's about it, so... I haven't been playing any games. I need to get back. I want to get back into Mario Maker because I haven't played that for like a couple of months now, and I need to, you know, get back in and check out the updates and try and make some new levels.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm scared. They delete old levels. I wonder if like all my levels are gone now.
Mine better not be gone because
off of online, but you've still got your local copy.
Yeah.
And just bring my Wii U to people's houses and be like, play these levels.
Did you, Adam, do that thing for your brother for Christmas? Did you give him a Mario Maker thing? Is that what you did?
It was my cousin. I gave him the game and I was going to make him a level, but Xenoblade.
Yeah. So when I get back onto the Wii U stuff, I'll probably check out Mario Maker and also try and finish up Lego City Undercover, because I was playing that and that was going okay, but yeah, PS4 has distracted me. Okay, so we'll take a short break and we'll be back with our main topic about the year of 2016. See you in a minute. And welcome back. Now we're going to jump into our discussion about the year that is 2016. What do we think is going to happen? The first major thing that's coming up will be in February with the whole Pokemon 20th anniversary thing. I'm guessing there's going to be like around that time those virtual console games come out. There might be some sort of announcement of more stuff to celebrate. Maybe, you know, a hint at a real new Pokemon game coming this year.
Pokemon Go.
I think.
Come on, guys.
Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, more information. Pokemon Go. Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big game this year.
Really.
And I think that it's going to get. They bought time for a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be like a nostalgia fest, most likely. It's going to start off with the red and blue, and then like.
It's
going
to be so real watching a Pokemon commercial at the Super Bowl.
During football.
I'll watch it on YouTube later.
Right, I'm not actually going to watch it during the Super Bowl.
I think it's going to start with like a trailer for the Red and Blue remakes, or the re-releases, and then transition into real-world Pokemon, and then it's Pokemon Go.
It's going to advertise like, it'll have like 5 different Pokemon products at once.
I don't know, I just thought it was going to be about the virtual console releases and like to hype up 3DS and stuff, but maybe
nobody cares.
And the new bundles.
Yeah, the new bundles like and stuff. Because yeah. I think they're relying mm-hmm. like hard on maybe like a massive nostalgia like thing happened for the 3DS. Like a lot of 20-somethings might be like, oh yeah, Pokemon. Yeah, I haven't played that for ages. Let's buy a 3DS.
It's going to be interesting because I saw a report recently that said that Nintendo actually had a ton of like advertising airtime. Like they had a lot of TV. They had like, I think they were ranked as having the most TV in this study commercials showed, but they didn't actually spend the most. It was mobile companies that really spent a lot on TV ads, partially because they were buying Super Bowl ads. So for Nintendo to go for a Super Bowl ad for Pokemon and where we're looking at a lot of re-releases of old games and bundles.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's a lot of money spent. And
it's good to see that sort of thing, though. I'm glad Nintendo. I hope they move more to like doing big advertising splashes like this. Like,
well, why do we hope? I mean, is it good for Nintendo? Is that a good way to spend money? It's possible to spend marketing dollars and get like no return.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the Christmas commercials? They were adorable. I love the Christmas commercials where they have like Mario and Pokemon run around the Christmas tree. Like, I thought they were really cute.
I don't even know.
I need to watch more TV because yeah, there's some really great commercials that I miss.
But like stuff like the Super Bowl, like big sort of things with like lots of eyeballs on it. I mean, like that'll do something.
And I think it's nice to see because we're Nintendo fans. I think it's nice to see Nintendo there and not just in our little corners of the world. It's like, oh yeah, now
yeah,
you know, everyone can see this is Nintendo and there's Pokemon and everyone can be excited about it. Not just me and my group of friends. I have something that's like, hey, you watched the Super Bowl? Did you see that commercial? I don't know, but it's nice to be visible, you know. And
what do you think the content of the commercial will be like? Because isn't like usually you see like Super Bowl commercials, they're like generally like specially made and they're like meant to be sort of like funny or like high button, you know, like really good usually, like
Maybe
people advertisers spend more. Can't they just do like the
Pokemon rap? And if they want nostalgia.
They get the whole stadium to start singing the Pokemon rap.
Ever was to beat all the rest. Yeah, that's my call.
Sanshai, sit my lane. Arcanine, Psyduck.
I don't know. But I would be like, I would be out of my seat. I'd be like, yes! Yes! Exactly that!
You'd be the only one at the Super Bowl party.
I hope you actually...
Then I'll be like, what?
No, I hope you go to the actual Super Bowl and do that. Dance like, woo!
I'm cheering for Team Rocket!
No, oh, the Electabuzz, man. That's an actual team in the Pokemon anime.
Charmeleon, Wartortle.
Mewtwo,
Aerodactyl.
Wow.
Okay. So, do you think... So, you guys don't think that it's possible that we're going to see a 3DS, like, Pokemon game this year? I think it's going to... surely it's going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like...
I don't know.
With them, like, doing all this talk about, like, Pokemon Z, I feel like that's going to be, aside from the Pokemon Go... You know, I feel like that's going to be the big spotlight, like Carmine said, with the new game, and Pokemon Z is just going to be kind of like the follow-up, you know? That everybody's kind of like,
I'm not confident.
Okay.
I'm not confident there's going to be a Z. I think if there is a game this year, I think it, you know, they could put out like the next like generation game, like the next actual Pokemon game. They might just skip the spin-off-y sort of.
I kind of hope they do, because, like, no, if, like, I didn't honestly, like, get into Emerald, I didn't get into Platinum, like, any of the third
spin-off games. I always skipped the third one.
Yeah, because I was just like, I wanted the new generation when it came out. The only third one I ever got was Crystal, and that's because, as a girl, I got super jazzed that I could play a girl now. I was like, yes!
So yeah, I got that Yellow, and then I was like, I was kind of disappointed with it when I got it as a kid, because I was like, oh, this isn't really that different.
Yeah, aside from the fact that you got all the starters in that one, and that was kind of nice, but other than that, it was pretty much the same game. Yeah, no, I didn't buy any of the third versions, really, because by the time they came out, it was like, well, I've already beaten it. I don't really care about a handful of new Pokemon.
Crystal was really good, too, because it had the sprites were animated slightly.
Yeah.
When they, like, came into the screen or something.
Yeah, that was the first time the Pokemon sprites started to move.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were released from the Pokeball, and that was really, really cool. I mean, they made a couple of new additions to that one, and it was just, you know, come on, hands down, best generation, so.
Yeah, Crystal is probably, like, yeah, it is better than Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never actually played it. I do own a cart copy now, but I haven't started it or anything.
Hard to say.
A new generation of Pokemon games wouldn't keep up on us this fast, wouldn't it?
I don't feel like it would be able to release this year.
Yeah, it wouldn't be something that I would expect.
How quickly did they turn around Black and White once after it was announced?
No, but also that's a question.
Black and White. It was announced around now, and it came out in Japan in the fall, and then America in March, which actually came out in America the same month, like a week after, I think, the 3DS.
Yeah, because I remember a couple of my friends getting the 3DS right when it came on the racks, and then playing Pokemon Black and White, because the Victini event was the first thing they
did right
when it came out.
Yeah.
See, it depends if they want to do that again, like have like a late generation Pokemon game come out on the 3DS when there could be new hardware just around the corner.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, because the 3DS did not sell well at first, and I think Nintendo will kind of push them, like, hey, if you could just, like, if the NX comes out this fall, then why come out with Pokemon Z or the new generation or whatever? Right then,
I could almost see Z
on the
coming
old
out.
System.
But
yeah,
a new generation. I would think that it would try to be more in line with like the larger strategic goals.
Yeah, I feel like part of the reason that like the 3DS even sold what it did when it first came out was because I know, especially with like Pokemon games and stuff, was the fact that the DS was having a harder and harder time connecting to Wi-Fi and stuff, because Wi-Fi codes were changing and security keys were changing, because I know at the time I had a DS, and at college I couldn't connect to any of the Wi-Fi because the security keys had changed beyond the point that the DS was capable for. So all my friends that now had 3DSs were like, haha, I can get on and do the black and white event. You can't. So it was like, are you kidding
me? You didn't buy the PC dongle?
No.
I'm pretty sure that was outdated by then too.
I'm pretty sure that was...
I think that was outdated when it released.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with Carmine. I don't think a new generation of Pokemon is going to be able to turn around this fast without anybody even knowing about it, and with us, you know, staring down a possible release date for a new software or a new hardware from Nintendo coming this E3.
I guess, you know, unless maybe it's not for 3DS, maybe there is a new generation coming, but it's coming to whatever the NX is straight off the bat, like an early launch game sort of thing. I mean, X and Y was released quite a while ago, and Ruby and Sapphire were released in 2014, weren't they?
Mm.
So they've been doing something for quite a while. Like,
They've just been really, really hush-hush about it. You know, Pokemon Go's been the little star child they keep giving us, being like, this is going to be awesome!
Yeah.
And but Pokemon Go is going to be like their third free-to-play game that's come out since Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah, because you've got so I wonder Picross if Rumble Blast.
Oh, I guess it would be the fourth, yeah, because then there's also Pokemon Shuffle. I forgot about Picross.
Well, Pokemon Go is a completely different beast because my guess is it's going to be heavily based on this game called Ingress by Niantic, which is the developer they're working with for Pokemon Go. So, I mean...
Ingress. Yeah. I know Ingress very well.
So, actually, I've been thinking of maybe I should start playing Ingress. Because that way, at least, I'll see Pokemon, like, Go version 0.5. And think, you know, if they're going to build off it. Why the very strong, almost horrified no?
You may as well wait. You may as well wait till the Pokemon one comes out. I think it'll be better than that other game, because I think obviously Game Freak and Nintendo will have a little like they'll have some influence on how the game works and stuff. So I think it'll be more polished and it'll just be cooler with having you know Pokemon catching Pokemon.
Because come on, it's Pokemon.
Yeah, Ingress will take over your life, and it's very cold outside right now, so. Just let Pokemon take over your life in like a couple months.
During the warmer months of the year.
But I actually wrote an article on the site about when I was really into Ingress. And it is very time consuming. Like, I would go in the middle of the night like, oh, I should go to sleep. And then I would like get a notification like, your portal is under attack. And then I'd be out like until the sun came up, like playing this damn game.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that's horrible.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a blast. It's really fun. And it's grown a lot since I played it. Like, there's a lot more stuff you can do.
That's like why I finally stopped playing this one mobile game that I was playing for a while. And I'm like, I need to be able to sleep without fear of being attacked in the night.
No, but this one isn't just you wake up and you play with your phone. You wake up and you go somewhere. Stop. You get in the car. And you drive to the other side of town, and you play on your phone in the cold, and you have a giant external battery.
Pokemon won't, like, send us things like, oh, Mewtwo is going to be in, like, the outside of City Hall from the hours of 11 a.m. to, from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. They're not going to do that to us, are they?
Yes, they will, and your little watch will start vibrating and lighting up.
Oh my god, this is going to destroy our lives.
Oh,
we're gonna love it. We're make gonna our love lives it every step of the way.
Can't do that. There's gonna be kids playing Pokemon Go.
They're gonna be
too
not
bad
great.
For them.
It's like it's, that old.
It's not for children.
It's that old 90s trope for grown-ups. Kids stealing out of the house in the middle of the night or climb out their attic window just to go.
You've got to go to the middle of the Atlantic
Pokemon.
To get Articuno or something.
Oh gosh. Oh, no.
They're gonna have to fix it when kids start running away from home.
Yeah, I know. Like kids start going out at night, going on like Pokemon hunting expeditions.
I'm 10 years old. I can go. I'm a Pokemon trainer.
As long as they're 10.
This is a disaster.
I saw like a flyer for like a Pokemon Go like local league, at the local bookstore, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's months ahead of time, and they're already organizing, like, the local community. I don't know what for.
Okay, yeah. So aside from Pokemon, we've got, like, the next, like, big game from Nintendo, presumably, is going to be Star Fox, but recently we heard that it could be delayed until, like, July or something. So that's not great. I was hoping that would be much sooner than that, like, I don't know, April or something.
It's okay. If Pokemon Go comes out in March, I don't know when it's going to come out, but I don't know, it's a Nintendo game. I have to start every Nintendo game wait period by telling myself it's going to be delayed at least 5 times. So when it comes out, and as I don't know, I'm just your typical Nintendo fan of take however long you want. I wish I had it sooner, but if it's good, it doesn't matter.
My money, what do we will think be ready. That
the reason for delaying it is, though? Because it was meant to come out in, like, December or November last year. But they delayed it, so... And now we could be looking at a further delay, like, the, you know, middle of this year. So what do you think they're adding or doing to it? Is it also just not coming together, do you think, or they've actually gone back and said, oh, we should add more content or something?
It's either not fun to play, or they're adding amiibo support, or both.
Mm.
I could suspect that it's not coming together as much as they wanted to, because with the way Nintendo makes games, you know, it's all this stuff, but really it's that polish at the end. And unless they put in that polish, you're going to get something like, I don't know, but something like,
Star you heard
some like Twilight Princess sounded like a year before it came out, it sounded like it was a mess, right?
The Wii version, yeah. People had problems with, like, the Wii Remote stuff. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, so it's like, if they really want to make it a top-notch game, and they want to be able to put it out and say, you know, this is the best thing we can make it, they had to put in the time and to actually not just finish the project, but to go in and do the hard work of bringing it up to as much Nintendo quality as they could. Mm. I can easily see that being the case.
So, E3 this year, do you think we're definitely going to find out something about, like, the NX, and obviously Zelda Wii U is going to be playable. It's going to have the, you know, we're going to find out a lot about it either before E3 or at E3. What do we think about E3 this year?
Of course it has to be the first year I can't go in 3 years. Like, if they're putting a new Zelda game on the floor, I'm like, ugh.
Well, it's got to be there. It's got to be. I know. There's no way they're going to delay Zelda again. Surely not. I mean,
oh, most definitely. It hasn't been delayed 5 times yet. Like, Carmine's
that we
rule.
Know of. They could have just been like, yeah, we're delaying it till 2016. We thought it was going to be out, you know, by February, but we just didn't mention a day.
I think at some point, someone is going to be wearing white gloves, carrying around, like, the NX box, and that's it. Like, not showing the controller or any of the specs.
So Reggie or someone's going to pull it out of his jacket again and hold it above his head and say, NX!
Yeah, come on stage. They're going to bring everyone into a giant room and show them the Nintendo Direct video. And then at the end, someone is going to come out holding a box. And that's going to be E3.
That's going to be all of it.
That's it.
Just gonna be like, okay, go home.
Yeah, they're gonna announce it. They're gonna say, like, oh, coming in 2019.
Right.
So, like, with the NX, a lot of people think it's coming, definitely coming, like, November this year, like, releasing. Like, we still don't know a whole lot about it. The only thing is that it's basically gonna be, like, have an overarching platform, like, you know, account system, and there could be two SKUs of it, like a sort of a home version and, like, a handheld-y sort of version, possibly. Do you think it's like, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I think, you know, Nintendo needs to do something to turn around their console business a bit. I mean, Wii U isn't going to sell a whole lot more this year, even with Zelda coming.
I mean, I wonder if it's,
I think they're,
if that's why they're keeping it so hush-hush, you know, as far as, like, obviously we expect it to be releasing soon, but the fact that we haven't heard anything about it is incredible, you know, just because pretty much all other console releases have been, you know, yeah, we showed something or we talked about what the capabilities were going to be a year before it released, and... You know, I think maybe that might just be why they're keeping it so under wraps, is that they're trying to, you know, one, trying to increase the suspense of people finding out, you know, more stuff is randomly leaked that gets debunked, and it kind of keeps the hype going. And maybe just because, like, I don't know, they just don't want people to know what to expect so that it's, you know, that much better when they finally get it. Or at least that's what they think it might do, hopefully, since... The Wii U fell so flat from day one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that they are planning on releasing it this year, but that it's going to get delayed. And they're going to say, they're going to announce, like, oh, it's coming out 2016. Oh, we meant fiscal year 2016. So it'll come out in March. And then in March, they'll be like, yeah, it's coming out. At Christmas.
I could see maybe, like, if they're gonna, if that, like, if they're not sure they can make, like, make enough or something, it might come out in, like, America at the end of the year, and then places like Australia in, like, March or something. Yeah. February.
Well, I think they might come out with one. Like, if there are gonna be two of them, a handheld and a home one,
yeah,
they might come out with one first, but maybe. I think they're both gonna get delayed.
I don't know, I feel like... I feel like part of what they're going for, you know, considering that they've been touting it as pretty much a singular concept, will be to release both at the same time. So I can't really necessarily see them releasing them separately, just because it's supposed to be a family of systems kind of thing, so it seems like it would all release together.
Yeah.
That would be part of the point, you know?
One thing I think we have to remember about the NX is we still actually sort of know so little about it, and with Nintendo, it's always super risky going into E3 and saying, they're going to talk about this, because, and obviously, they're going to talk about the NX, but at the same time, what? It's going to be a big reveal, but it's so, I really do not know what to expect or not to expect from E3 at Nintendo right now, which is sort of exciting, because... You know, I want to see what happens, and I want to be surprised, and I don't want to come in with, like, this list of, I need to see this, because that's a great way to be disappointed, especially when you're a Nintendo fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really thought last year's E3 was going to be really, like, kind of
better.
Every year you
But yeah. It was kind of a middling year last year. I mean, I really expected, like, a trailer for Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
At least, like, some sort of, you know, just... cinematic sort of trailer of it, nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to me, I mean, I am completely open. I expect to see NX. I don't have any specifics. I do think a lot of what people have been speculating makes sense, that NX sounds like it's going to be this year. I think one thing about NX that's sort of weird is if you see some of the, I guess it might just be internet news articles having sensationalist titles and not really understanding the Nintendo context, saying that, oh, the NX will be with cutting-edge chips, because that's like a translation, stuff like that. But cutting-edge means a different thing coming from Nintendo. It means, like, hey, we're using modern consumer electronics chips that are not, that are probably chosen for power efficiency and for the exact specific use it's going to be used for. We're not talking cutting edge as in the Western technology world of really we're bleeding edge, we're using the fastest processors, we're like.
But at the same time, like, I think Nintendo needs to be competitive with the power and sort of architecture this time around. I mean, because like,
we say that every time. We say that this time Nintendo will, like, go toe-to-toe with someone, but that's never what they want. that's never been their modus.
They don't even need to go like toe to toe. Just mean like
the way they build
games on the Wii U, right, is like different architecture to like the PS4 and stuff. So isn't that like one of the reasons why it's harder to sort of port stuff?
So the question is not about being competitive. It's being like, are you going to use a standardized architecture? Are you going to get off the PowerPC architecture, and are you going to get onto x86 and use some AMD chips?
Yeah.
So that's a completely different question.
No, they're not. They're not, because they said when they consolidated their handheld and their home divisions that they were going to continue with the Wii U architecture, which I think is like the same has been since the GameCube, and bring that to both devices, and that they were going to be like brothers. So the next one, the next like handheld is going to be just like a tiny GameCube you can carry around with you, like architecture wise.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they're gonna keep on this architecture line, and you won't see the jump to x86 architectures that like the PS4 is on with AMD chips and stuff like that. But they can still achieve like so-called competitiveness if they maintain a program that maintains like engine compatibility. Like I think they've had some good success with Unity engine compatibility, and having that be like a much smoother process than before, and going out to engine manufacturers and making sure, hey, let's make sure there's a version of this that supports our consoles. I think they can achieve that by, and yet stay on this like thing where they don't want to drastically jump architectures. Because again, you know, you look at it, if you have a knowledge of like Nintendo history and Nintendo context, you look at how long they kept the NES architecture around. You know, the Game Boy went until like 2000 and like 2000, 2001, you know, and that's basically like the mobile NES from like 80, 84, 85, 86.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of specific technical stuff that goes on. And when people talk about the NX, it's not about Nintendo's going to compete technologically like this. No, it's so much more detailed than that. And I'm sorry, Grant. Okay. it's so much more detailed than that.
With the account thing that we're thinking the NX sort of is as a platform, is like the NX platform is sort of above, a level above like whatever the devices are, right? So like, are we going to assume that they're doing this so that you're never like all the systems they're going to put out after this will be based on the whatever the NX platform is, like iOS and stuff. So they'll never have to sort of reset their user base from zero again, and you'll be able to have everything forwards compatible from here on out. You think that's what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think that's what they were talking about with the accounts and everything. Just because that's one of the big things that people complain about with Nintendo is, why don't we have a unified account? And they're trying to say, well, we'll just do a unified account that'll work forever on everything, and like carry forward their architecture so that they can do that more easily. It just makes sense to me that that's what they would care about, because they got a lot of complaints on that.
Yeah.
Again, predicting what Nintendo cares about is fraught with error, but it sounds like something that they would have to do if they wanted to claim that they've modernized. And there might be some benefits to that, because if you can go to an NX unified platform, then maybe you can talk about a faster than 5-year hardware update cycle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. I mean, what happens if they start, like, maybe they have, like, slightly weaker hardware, but they do quicker revisions of, like, whatever, you know, their devices are?
Well, they filed a patent for, like, a box that's, like, the size of, like, a PC tower, that you plug into your system, and it gives it like a power boost. And then when you aren't playing, you can like rent it out to other people online and get like some sort of in-game credit or like Nintendo account points for it. So they could do that. Hmm. Yeah, like instead of releasing a whole new system, just you buy a little box that you plug into your Wii U, and now you have an NX. Or you can go to the store and buy an NX.
Also have to do with like, it was like boosting processing power for like everyone, you know, like the more systems that are connected, the faster stuff happens or something.
You could rent out that box when you weren't playing, so other people could use it. So, like, the more that we're connected online, the better everyone's experience was or something.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. It's a patent, so it's really broad, but
vague.
I think it'd be cool if they did that.
Okay. I've seen stuff, like, on, like, high-grade professional, like, workstations for architecture and stuff, where you actually buy this, like, separate, like workstation add-on. You sit it next to your computer, and it is, like, pure processing cores. It is like, your own personal rendering farm.
Yeah.
But this sounds like that, distributed computing over the cloud. So that's a really wild thing, and I'm not even sure I understand it. Patents are very confusing.
Yeah.
And you're like, they're patenting crazy ideas.
That's why they don't mind releasing information like that, because they're like, yeah, we're going to put this out to the public so you have an idea, but you really actually don't know anything, like, at all.
Yeah. And a lot of the time when these patents come out, people just assume that, oh, it must be for the next console or the next thing. I mean, some of these ideas might not even be, like, implemented for another 10 years or so.
Yeah.
You know, like, it could just be sort of, they've come up with this sort of concept and, like, okay.
We might as well.
Might as well patent it, yeah.
Before somebody else gets
it. The only thing that a patent means is that no one else can do it. So even if they don't want to do that, that means that no one else can do that either.
They should at least claim ownership.
Yeah, they may not even do anything with it at all. Like, so you're sitting here
I'm still waiting for, like, the voice to text patent that will automatically caps lock when we start yelling.
Oh God, that would be beautiful.
You should invent that and get that happening.
No, and then Nintendo will sue me because they have a patent for it.
Oh, they've got that.
Like, do they really?
I didn't know that.
I thought that was what that patent meant. I may be wrong.
Well, if you guys ever have any good ideas, my cousin that I bought Mario Maker for is a patent lawyer.
Mm. So besides the NX and Pokemon and, like, random stuff at E3 and stuff, like, do you think we're going to have any other sort of curveballs that we just don't really see coming this year? Is Nintendo really going to go all out with crazy announcements to really, you know, get people excited for the future this year?
Like, not on the current platform.
No.
I can't imagine. It's been so thin.
They dropped, was it Kimishima? Like, the current Nintendo president said something about, you know, they're looking towards anime licenses and movie licenses and stuff. So we could see an announcement of a film or something this year.
Yikes. I don't know. But, I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, every single time I see a video game movie, I think back to the ones we already have, and it's like,
Maybe they'll announce the release of the Animal Crossing movie in.
Or we'll find out that Zelda movie wasn't as far-fetched as we thought it was. Or TV series, or whatever it was.
I think the best thing we can hope for this year is, like, a Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer with Mario in it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think if they're working on anything, we won't see it for a while.
One of the things that announcement that I feel with that announcement is that they're, like, right now they're open to any, like, partnership licensing things, probably for profit reasons. Like, they want to make sure they're making money. So they're like, hey, if somebody comes along and wants to, like, make an official, like, album or project using our properties, they'd be open to it.
Yeah, because they've got all of these money-making brands that they have that they're not really doing much with besides just merchandising and video games, you know. That other people might have really, really big ideas for.
Yeah. How do you guys see Amiibo playing out over the next year? Because they're ending Smash Brothers. They said this is going to be it. And I'm like, okay, so that's all the Smash Brothers out. What comes after that?
The Smash Brothers cards, and then the alternate colors, and then the alternate poses.
I think there'll be a line of Star Fox Amiibo. There'll be special Zelda Wii U Amiibo. More of the same.
Are they going to have an actual line?
I think Zelda Wii U will probably come bundled with, like, a Link figure or something that looks like, you know, the one from the game. Because it'd be kind of silly just to use the Smash ones or, like, the Twilight Princess Amiibo with the Zelda Wii U game.
Yeah, I mean, that's not all they're going to do. It's just like one or two at a time with their big first party releases.
Yeah, but it's not.
I think you'll get more third party stuff.
It's not. It's not like a giant series like Smash Brothers.
Maybe Pokemon Amiibo are coming.
Oh God!
Oh God!
700 and something.
Maybe if Pokemon Z comes out, there'll be like a line of Pokemon Amiibo with some new mini game or feature that uses them or something. It's like a mini game mode where you can like upload stats of your Pokemon to an Amiibo. Then you could go into like this other mini battle arena to like duke it out in like Amiibo battle or something.
What they have to do is like just do some. Well, I don't know. This really scares me. But where's the synergy with like the collectible card game? Because you've got Amiibo cards, you've got Pokemon TCG. You know, just put them together, and I will be a poorer man for it.
Yeah, if they could the Pokemon trading card game as a video game, but like also you like scan in the cards. That might be kind of cool.
Wait, Nick, you don't play the Pokemon trading card game?
No, I never played it. I just buy them to look at the cards. That was all I did.
Oh my god. Okay, so it's on PC and iPads.
Yeah, I know.
And every booster pack comes with a QR code, and you just hold it up to the camera, and it unlocks a booster pack in the game.
Okay. That's cool.
So it kind of does that. But I don't understand why that game isn't on 3DS or Wii U. Like, it makes me angry every time I remember
that. Yeah. It's that weird interplay where Nintendo owns 33% of the Pokemon company and technically gives them independence.
Yeah. But
it's a really Nintendo associated franchise, but technically it's not Nintendo's franchise.
Technically, they could just go, we're going to Xbox One.
But technically, yeah.
That's never going to happen because they're not going to risk rolling the dice on the fan base.
Well, we'd start getting stuff like Pokemon FPS games and stuff like that instead. You know, I feel like the entire dynamic would
Pokemon
change.
Pokemon Snap?
Oh, God.
Well,
Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap is more like Pokemon Fatal Frame game.
Kind of. Except it's supposed to be happier than that, Carmine. It's supposed to be significantly less terrifying.
I would play a Pokemon Snap horror game.
I don't know that I would. That would be a little bit like...
Well, I mean, how scary is a Gengar, really? You know?
Well, if you read the Pokedex entries...
It depends. You can make a game like Slender Man, and it would be pretty scary.
So, I don't know. I don't know if at the end of the year... I'm still way into Amiibo. I just don't know what's going to play out this year. Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for like a line of Amiibo that's not too big that I like really like, because then I'll collect the whole line. Like
something manageable, like 6-8 figures.
Yeah, like 10 figures maybe. Like if something that I really like, I might try and collect them all. But all the like other ones, I haven't really, you know. The most manageable one probably would have been the like Super Mario line, but I just didn't really care.
I pretty much just stick to the ones I want. Like, I get the Fire Emblem ones because I'm a huge, huge Fire Emblem fan. And I get the Zelda ones for the most part. I got Yarn Yoshis, but come on, those are just cute. But other than that, I just kind of limit myself to certain franchises so I don't just buy a bunch of things just to be like, oh, I have it. Yay!
Actually, that reminds me. I was talking with a friend recently about Fire Emblem Fates, and he is really into it. He's really excited. He was really doing his utmost to sell me, since I've never really played a Fire Emblem game before, and I think he succeeded. But we're probably going to see a bunch of Amiibo re-releases around stuff like that. So the Fire Emblem will come out, the re-release stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that might be part of what happens with Amiibo this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like traditional older figures, but like restocks.
Yeah, especially because of the stocking issues and stuff that we had in the U.S., it would almost be, you know, just a good chance to be like, oh yeah, okay, we're going to re-release another set of the Amiibo that you couldn't get before, just to, and actually, you know, help us a little bit by promoting the game as well in another form.
Well, if they want to do a line that has, like, a lot of characters again, and they could partner with Sega and do all the Sonic characters.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because there are
I would buy those. I would buy all those.
All of them? Every game comes just with Tails. Like three new characters they've never heard
except
of.
Except the stupid. There's a limit to the ones I'll buy.
Not sure of that.
You already committed to all of them.
I don't want the chaotic people.
What? The chaotic people are awesome, man.
Okay, Charmy's cool, but the rest are kind of.
There's the crocodile or something.
Yeah, and there's the.
Big the cat. He's just a life size stuffed amiibo.
They're awesome.
Oh my god. I am game for more plush amiibo.
Oh my god.
You know, I don't know why there isn't a complete line of fully stuffed huggable amiibo.
That would be the thing to do with Pokemon amiibo, though. Like, if you were going to do more Pokemon amiibo, it would be plush Pokemon amiibo.
But there's already so many Pokemon plushes anyway, though.
I know, but they would still be cute.
These are amiibo.
So do you think, like, if they're going to go, like, all in on amiibo, if the NX comes out this year, do you think they'll bundle the NX with a special amiibo for something? Like, day one edition amiibo is, like, a special amiibo, some sort of special statue that comes and undoes something for the system?
I don't know, I think that'd be the way to make people angry. Like, really? All those collectors be like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. You know, I have to be... I mean, they're going to be like,
well, they're going to try buy an NX anyway.
Yeah,
so.
But they might be like, okay, you're going to make me wait in line, and then I'm going to get there, and I'm going to get my system, and you're going to be out of amiibo. Like, that would cause a riot.
Yeah. The thing about amiibo is it's great. It's a really neat idea to have, like, this physical DLC thing, but it has to be available, you know? It's like, if they run out... Then their real customers, their real fans, the people who really want it and really have love for it, can't give them money, and two, can't, you know, connect with the gameplay, and can't get that thing that they want, and that's a bad situation for them to be. The amiibo have to be mass market. They should not put people, like regular people who want to play Pokemon, in competition with collectors.
Yeah. So like, do you think, like, maybe a surprise at E3 could be, like, some sort of bigger budget, like, game that includes a lot of the different amiibo that sort of, like, you know, the game that is, like, amiibo-focused, so it could be, something like Skylanders or something where it's, like, the whole hook is, like, using the amiibo.
Or maybe, like, Lego.
I know we sort of half
We already have amiibo tap, you know?
Yeah.
A compelling piece of software.
Well, maybe.
But, you know, something... So, it's like a Smash Brothers, like...
Like an actual, honest-to-God, full-scale, amiibo-centric...
Yeah, something like Lego Dimensions, in that it incorporates a bunch of the different games, but in a more solid form than just
So you have, like, a few mini Zelda sort of themed, like, stages. You've got some Mario, like, 3D sort of Mario.
And you have to play with, like, a team of these amiibo in order to make it through each stage, and, like, they'll get various abilities, so you can mix and match your party.
Running through the Mushroom Kingdom. And
that would be a really exciting idea. That sounds really cool.
Wait, what if Nintendo partnered with Activision to make it, and that's why there were amiibo in Skylanders? They were saying, like, okay, well, you can use some of our characters in Skylanders, but you have to make us a Skylanders game to use our amiibos with. I would be okay with
it's
that.
It's possible. But at the same time, it feels kind of, like, late, unless it was, like you keep saying, like, some sort of NX launch title or something.
Yeah.
Because if we hear about it at E3, it would just... If it's for Wii U, it would just feel a bit... too little too late almost.
I really think like the really exciting thing, and I don't, maybe this is Nintendo pipe dreams, is for them to continue finding a different way for having people relate to the software. And if they can find something really neat to do with amiibo that's different but still gives you every reason to want to both play the game and buy the amiibo and have that relationship with the product, then that would really justify amiibo once and for all. Other than, oh wow, I just love Nintendo stuff, and I'm waiting for them to come out with a game that, like, really uses this stuff.
Yeah.
An honest-to-God, fully formed idea of this is how you incorporate amiibo and a video game and have a full experience that doesn't feel, like, you know, tacked on, or, like, we could have done this another way, or, like an afterthought. So I don't know if that's something that is in development. I don't know if that's something that we've got in store for us, but it's a really exciting idea if something like that exists.
Because it seems like...
it's in stores right now. It's the Animal Crossing
game. Oh, God.
It doesn't
count.
No. You look at the Animal Crossing game and...
Make it better.
It's Candyland with some additional strategy and stuff. And you don't need Amiibo to play that.
You have to have the Amiibo to play it.
No, but you don't need it mechanically.
You need it to roll the dice, man.
There isn't any mechanical. Yeah, but they could release a physical version of that. And the Amiibo would be, like, the figure that
you would roll the Amiibo.
So, I mean, you drop
the Amiibo, and depending on where it lands, that's how many spaces you get to move.
What I'm talking about is like an actual thing that uses like the memory of the Amiibo in a way that's like a deeper integration. Mm-hmm. Something like that is you buy it and you love the brand and you love having the physical Amiibo, and it's a neat thing to have the Amiibo and use it with the game, and to have it like save and unlock like different costumes. But that isn't like a super deep integration. That's just I love Animal Crossing and I want to buy all the Animal Crossing Amiibo type things.
Because they're cute.
Yeah. So do you think we're going to get a Nintendo Direct soon? Maybe. Like maybe in February?
I don't know.
This is going to be a new sort of Nintendo Direct.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, surely they're going to have to... Like, Miyamoto dropped that they're working on Pikmin 4, and we have not heard anything about it since. So is that game dropping in, like, April this year? And is this going to, like, appear out of nowhere? Like, they're going to have a Direct in, like, February or March and say, oh, yeah, this is out in 4 weeks.
Actually,
unless they held that
I
one
bet
back
it's already out, and just none of us know about it. You can just go... You have to...
The box art just has the three crossed out.
No, you have to go search the eShop, but it's kind of hard to find. Just go download it. But no, I think we'll get a Direct soonish. I mean, why would Pokemon buy a Super Bowl commercial if they didn't have something big to kind of show off? So I think we'll get a Direct about that, whatever they're going to do. And then we'll probably get one.
Maybe including that, but probably not just limited to it.
Right, but I think we'll get one like on the Pokemon anniversary, talking about all of Pokemon's plans, and then kind of whatever else Nintendo wants to say, like, oh, this is the new stuff in Twilight Princess, or Star Fox is coming out in May now because we added this stuff. But I think it'll be Pokemon focused, just because that's the anniversary.
Yeah. Obviously, like, whatever when they do a Direct, obviously whatever they talk about will be, like, probably give us an idea, you know, everything up until around where E3 is. So, like, the first half of this year, maybe. Yeah.
Are they going to do, like, surprise releases? Like, that Box Boy release came out of... That Box Boy sequel release in Japan came out of nowhere.
They like doing that, though. They did that with, like, all of the Pushmo games, too, right? They just sort of released them without any prior knowledge.
Yeah, well, those games are hard to hype up. Like, eShop games, it's easy to just say, like, oh, aren't you hyped? Go buy it right now, please. Like, I bet you that's when they get most of their sales, is when they announce it.
Yeah, yeah. So, going back to Amiibo just quickly, like, it seems like the Twilight Princess Amiibo could, like, unlock an extra dungeon or something. What do we think about that? Like, unlocking, like, an actual, presumably hefty sort of content.
Do you think it's actually going to be a dungeon, or do you think it's going to be, like 50 floors of enemy battles?
they already have that, but,
is it actually going to be a dungeon?
It could be a small dungeon, but that's what the listing. I think it came from like an Amazon listing in France or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it said dungeon, but who knows what that means?
Yeah, because it could mean any number of things. I mean, it's hard to say. It would have to be something entirely optional, obviously.
Yeah.
But it would be like, what would you put as the reward in a dungeon like that is optional that people would actually go for?
You put the Triforce in there.
Make it appealing
you
enough.
You can go get the whole Triforce. Yeah.
No, you put the first deity mask in there.
The first deity mask in Twilight Princess?
The first deity mask.
That would be...
Yeah.
Would you be able to actually use like it,
in,
though?
It's like in Mario Galaxy 2 where they did the throwback galaxy. It's like a temple from like a previous Zelda game in the Twilight Princess style or something.
I don't know.
Oh, dang. Like, that would be awesome. It.
I hate Twilight Princess.
Or maybe it'll be like another dungeon that uses like the spinner or something, because like people complained that you didn't use it enough.
I loved that thing. I wonder if it would, like, thinking something more along the lines of throwback, I wonder if it would be like a throwback dungeon. Like, to an older
Like, hey,
older
you've unlocked
game.
The water temple.
No, I know.
That would be the way to get fans to hate you.
I know what it's going to be. It's going to be an HD remake of Link's crossbow training. Where you get, like, the thing from E3
I was actually
that
thinking
you put your
gamepad
like, on.
Something like...
if it stars Linkle, I'm in.
Linkle, no! It has to be Link's crossbow training, not Linkle's crossbow training.
No, she's gonna take over the crossbow training franchise! Come on!
It's gonna be a franchise?
It makes sense, yeah, it does make
Maybe
sense.
Maybe in the sequel, but...
It's gonna be a franchise. That would be, she's that would be a demon hunter from Diablo 3, people. She is awesome!
But that Link's crossbow training came out, like, 2007, didn't it?
I have it right so, here, let me look at it.
Next year is like 10 years old. It feels so recent, though.
10-year anniversary edition.
Oh, God.
HD remaster. Well, Link's crossbow training.
I don't know. It should be a direct sequel. It should be Link's
crossbow training.
It should
be a direct sequel. It should not be...
No, they don't need an HD re-release of that.
Yeah. I do not enjoy HD re-releases. I can't... I am buying Twilight Princess HD, but I feel really conflicted about it.
I don't even know if I'm
buy
buying
this
it.
Game, I hate it.
I know I'm getting
I'm
the amiibo.
It for the amiibo.
I'm getting the amiibo.
I hate The Legend of Zelda toilet paper, but I'm buying that damn amiibo so I can unlock content in Zelda U. But I hate that game.
Hey, maybe you'll
Why
get
you
half. Maybe you'll get
me?
Maybe you'll get half the temple in Twilight Princess, and you'll unlock the other half in Zelda.
That would be
Wii U.
Cruel. Oh, that would God. Be terrible. That'd be the worst idea.
There's
ever.
A lot of ways that
you
this
use
is
the
a
same
horrible
amiibo.
Idea.
Because, no, that'd be
because
terrible.
They said that they said the amiibo from Twilight Princess does something in Zelda Wii U. So maybe it does that.
No. But that's an awful tease. If you play the first half of the dungeon one. In 2016. And the second half in 2018 when Zelda Wii U came out.
Try like 2019. We still got like, what,
just,
three more
just
delays
just taking a page
that,
out of Square Enix's playbook for Final Fantasy VII. I mean...
Okay. No, they're trying to... They're going to delay Zelda Wii U until they can figure out what to do with this Wolf Link amiibo.
They're like, okay, we said that it was going to do something, but we actually have no idea what it's going
to
do.
The game,
so.
Is a the game is actually finished, but in order to add amiibo integration, we need to delay it another 15 months.
No, I think what happened was they got close to finishing it, and then they all played Xenoblade, and then they were like, oh, we got to get these guys to help us remake this game.
I don't know. I don't think they were close to finishing it. I think they had a lot of parts that were just in pieces, and they, you know... had to delay it because it needed time to put it all together.
Because Nintendo makes Zelda games in pieces.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we have an idea of what we're making. It's a whole bunch of experiments, and it only congealed at the last minute.
The last minute? The last 2 years, man.
The last Nintendo minute.
The last Nintendo minute. Nintendo minute is like a 10-minute long show.
Okay, before we wrap things up, one other thing I was thinking on is... the like 3D Mario game. Do you think like if NX is coming this year, are we going to see what EAD Tokyo has been doing? Are we going to get another revolutionary sort of, you know, big impressive 3D Mario? Because no matter how good 3D World was, it was not
very
as
good.
Exciting as, you know, it didn't have that, you know, super excitement about it.
Yeah.
About having it.
There was no one thing they can point to and say, oh my God, that's amazing. You must have this.
Yeah, 3D World.
Yeah, we know the game's very solid.
It may be the best game of all time, which is what you meant to say. But it didn't sell. It didn't sell well at all.
It didn't have the Mario because it's Mario. So even if it's the best game, we've already seen Mario. So I mean, there's this constant battle for marketing innovation and what can you point to and what can you sell it for.
Where's the Mario 64 remake? It's 20th anniversary this year as well.
No, I think we're going to see a sequel to Super Mario 64.
Finally.
But as a tech demo, when they finally show off the NX.
No. it'll be like the Final Fantasy VII tech demo.
Yeah, and then...
60 Mario 64 DS NX.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so... you need two screens for it, man. It's Nintendo. They can't contain everything on one screen. But no, I think this year we're only going to see the physical NX, not see any of its hardware. And then, like, later down the line, we'll see them show off, like, 4K Super Mario 64.
4K
Super Mario, yeah. Like, remember the Zelda demo that they showed off with the Wii U? And it was so beautiful. Yeah. It had all that lighting. And then we get this ugly-ass Twilight Princess remake.
But Zelda Wii U looks amazing.
No, the demo.
No, the
demo.
Talking about the demo against the spider.
Yeah, I know.
That looked really good. And
the graphics on the Zelda Wii U game, though, look really great.
Yeah, they look good, but look at Twilight Princess. Like, it does not look great.
You just hate Twilight Princess.
I hate Twilight Princess.
I am with you. I am with you.
I like that game. Not as much as others, but I still like it.
It's a Zelda game, which automatically makes it okay. But it's the worst Zelda game. It's the worst Zelda game. It is the worst Zelda game.
It is among
them. Ouch.
But you know what? Back to the question of what is EAD Tokyo doing. I think one thing to be excited for is that Nintendo has really been running thin on software releases all this time. Their devs are doing something, you know. And if we don't see it this fall, we're going to see it next year. So, Nintendo has droughts, but they also have, like, these periods of, like, oh my god, too many games are coming out, and they're all, this is just horribly timed. Couldn't they have stretched this out over, like, 2 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I bet the whole company has been working on Pikmin 4 this whole time. Just pull all the resources.
Oh, joy.
That's what they should be doing.
Even the Pikmin 3 staff, that's why Pikmin 3 took, like, 5 hours to beat. Because halfway through, they were like, oh, shit, we got to go work on Pikmin 4. That's what everyone else is doing.
Whatever, I just hope that, like, the Mario game isn't literally Mario Galaxy 3. I really wouldn't be as excited about that. I know people keep clamoring for it, but I think, you know, you need to keep pushing Mario forward instead of doing, like, another sequel sort of thing.
I think it's going to be Super Mario 64. We're going to go back to the castle and jump into paintings or something like that,
like a spiritual sequel.
Yeah,
like not a remake, but like, hey, we're going back to the castle.
Yeah,
no,
that's
going to
be like an easy thing.
This time
we are going back to the castle.
Yeah, this time though, it starts off and it's like, yeah, the castle, and then you get to a painting and you can't jump into it. And then you work out that you need to go out the back of the castle and keep running towards stuff
Fake
in
out.
The Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh God, open world Mario. Cool. No, thank
you. That would
you.
Be kind of interesting.
Oh my gosh!
No, no.
That's where I think you could do it. You can make the hub world really big and make the exploration part about finding the stage entrances. And then once you're into a level, it turns into like the more linear sort of focused Mario Galaxy style like levels with a few larger areas thrown in.
Yeah, I'd like that, but I don't want the zero gravity floating around bullshit anymore. No, thank
you. Oh,
no. No, no.
I think
Galaxy's done.
Ba-Bomb Battlefield as an open world. An open world that just plays that song. Just for 100 hours, you know?
I want that to be like Nintendo's like quality of life sleep monitor. That'll be the lullaby it plays as I catch up on my sleep then.
Ba-Bomb Battlefield?
Yeah.
Not even like Jolly Roger Bay? Or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my god, yes.
You know, I've used Ba-Bomb Battlefield as an alarm clock before. You don't want that song putting you to sleep.
No.
I would actually really like a 3D Yoshi platformer. Because I think they need to step away from being 2D side-scrollers. I think it would be really cool in a 3D setting.
Man, Yoshi's for babies.
Oh, don't be mean.
I thought like the Woolly World aesthetic would look really cool in like a 3D environment where everything's got like, you know, mass to it and puffed out and stuff. So yeah, I think we're done with the 2016 craziness.
I did have
none of
which... based on absolutely no knowledge of the next year.
See, like if any, if even some of these ideas come true, it'll be pretty fun.
I did have one point that I wanted to revisit.
Yeah.
So Carmine said that people were reporting that the NX was going to have like cutting edge chips, but that might be like a mistranslation.
They're really sharp.
Yeah, like if you look at the Wii U, the discs, like the edges are rounded. And there's a rumor that the NX is going to use like actual like cartridges or like memory card chips. So maybe they're little chips, but the edges are really sharp. So they're chips.
Not just make that pun.
That you put. That's the. It was mistranslated.
Go
you put
home.
The chips and I am home. I'm at my house in my room. But they're very sharp little cartridges that you put in. They're cutting edge chips.
Just no.
That is my official prediction. And watch it come true. Miyamoto will come out and be like, oh, it's so sharp. Look. Wow.
That is an interesting point, though. Like, with the. We didn't really talk about. Like, what happens if. The NX, like, say there is two SKUs. What happens if they do go back to some sort of cartridge for both? So, like, the handheld version is obviously going to want to use a cartridge or, like, digital downloads. Maybe the home version would also utilize the same sort of medium. So we could see return to cartridges.
Yeah, I think we're going there just because it's easy to move back and forth. And I think that the handheld is going to be just a Wii U. And then the home one is going to be just a really powerful Wii U, but they're going to be able to like play the same games, just scaled.
Yeah.
So I think you'll be able to move like...
Depending on how things pan out, I think I might actually just go digital only, if that's the way it's going to go.
Oh, if there's storage, I'll go digital only.
Yeah.
But...
I think I might do that on the handheld at least next time, but who knows?
Happy birthday to you.
That is really
happy
creepy.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carmine. Happy birthday to you.
You know you're really lucky that they just had that court case that basically seemed to say that the company that claimed they owned that song doesn't really own it.
I know.
Now don't have to pay them money.
That's what I got you for your birthday.
I'm pretty sure we've used other songs that are copyright infringed on the show.
Jeez.
Yeah, there are no previous episodes with
like
live recording.
$5,000 right there.
That's what I got you for your birthday, man. I feel stupid now that I paid them for it.
Connectivity doesn't run on money. It runs on...
on emails, smiles. Damn it. Send us emails.
Yep. Okay, so if anyone wants to send us an email that we can, you know, chat about on the show, please send it to connectivity@nintendoworldofreport.com. Or you can chat to us on Twitter with the Connectivity Twitter account, which is @connectivitynwr. So, yeah, please send us some emails. We can jump into a few of those, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Ryan.
We heard last time that...
Ryan, you said you'd send
us.
We heard
last time that you know, Adam gets, you know, beaten really badly. You know, we don't get emails, so
it's really sad.
He beats
then
me.
He tells
he
jokes.
Abused,
and then he tells jokes like the cutting edge.
He puts all
joke.
He puts all the spam in a bag and beats me with the bag full of spam. I'm on Twitter as. @AdventureBuddy01, and A is the only vowel in adventure.
I'm @NicholasNWR.
I'm @VHDangerface.
And I'm @Kai, C-A-I _ R-E-D _.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining me again. And until next time, keep sending those emails. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I want to be the best. There ever was to beat all the rest. Yeah, that's my cause.
Electro, Diglett, Nidoran, Mankey, Venusaur, Rattata, Pharaoh, Pidgey, Seaking, Jolteon, Dragonite, Gastly, Ponyta, Vaporeon, Poliwrath, Butterfree.
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all. Pokemon.
I'll search across the land, look far and wide, release from my hand the power that's inside.
Venomoth, Poliwag, Nidorino, Golduck, Ivysaur, Grimer, Victreebel, Boltres, Nidoking, Farfetch, Abra, Jigglypuff, Kingler, Rhyhorn, Clefable, Wigglytuff.
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon!
Zubat, Primate, Meowth, Onix, Geodude, Rapidash, Magneton, Snorlax, Kingar, Tingala, Goldeen, Spearow, Weezing, Seal, Gyarados, Slowbro!
Gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all! Yeah. Gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah!
Gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon!
Ow! Kabuto, Persian, Paris, Horsea, Raticate, Magnemite, Kadabra, Weepinbell, Ditto, Cluster, Caterpie, Sandshrew, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Golem, Pikachu! Kangaskhan, Hypno, Electabuzz, Flareon, Blastoise, Poliwhirl, Oddish, Drowsy, Raichu, Nidoqueen, Bellsprout, Starmie!
Woo! We're at the halfway point. Doing great so far.
We? What's all this we stuff? I'm doing all the hard work.
Break time's over. Here we go!
Metapod, Marowak, Kakuna, Clefairy, Dodrio, Seedra, Fireplume, Granny, Lickitung, Tauros, Weedle, Nidoran, Machop, Shellder, Porygon, Hitmonchan!
Gotta catch 'em all! Gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah!
Gotta catch 'em all! Gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah! Articuno, Jinx, Nidorina, Beedrill, Haunter, Squirtle, Chansey,
Pokemon,
Parasect, Execute, Muck, Dugong, Johto, Lapras, Vulpix, Rhydon!
At least 150 or more to see. To be a Pokemon master is my destiny.
Charizard, Machamp, Pinsir, Koffing, Dugtrio, Golbat, Staryu, Magikarp, Ninetales, Ekans, Omastar, Scyther, Tentacool, Dragonair, Magmar!
Whoa! Catch your breath, man! Shake out those lips!
It's downhill from here! Just 24 more to go!
Now it gets tricky, so listen real good!
Sandslash, Hitmonlee, Psyduck, Arcanine, Eevee, Executor, Kabutops, Zapdos, Dratini, Growlithe, Mr. Mime, Cubone, Graveler, Voltorb, Gloom!
We're almost home!
Gotta catch 'em all! Gotta catch 'em all!
Yeah.
Gotta catch 'em all! Gotta catch 'em all!
Gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon!
Hey.
Charmeleon!
War Turtle!
Mewtwo, Tentacruel, Aerodactyl!
Ammonite,
Slowpoke,
Pidgeot, Arbok!
That's all, folks!
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all!
Gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon!